The words that the Lord has given to us today is Luke chapter 9, verses from 1 to 9. Allow me to read the words. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to curse diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?" And he tried to see him. Amen. 24 chapters of the Luke can be split into three parts as follows. The first part from chapter 1 to 4 is the introduction, which testifies how John the Baptist, who had lived to prepare for the coming of Jesus, was born, and how Jesus was born in his childhood as well. Chapters from 5 to 9 tell us about the acts that Jesus did in the northern Galilee of Israel, choosing disciples and showing who he was. The last part, chapters from 10 to 24, is a testimony about Jesus' acts done in Berea and Jerusalem. Chapter 9 of today's scripture belongs to the last part of what Jesus did in Galilee. Verse 1 and 2 testify as follows. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus came to Peter, Jacob, and John, who failed to catch a fish overnight, and had them as his disciples. He also called Levi, or Matthew, a tax collector sitting at his tax booth, as his disciple. This way, the 12 were chosen as the disciples in the chapter 6. They listened to a word of everlasting life from Jesus and witnessed that Jesus' power to heal a centurion servant from critical illness and saved a son of a widow from death. They saw how Jesus calmed the Lake of Galilee when the quail came down, and also watched that Jesus healed the man who had been possessed by the legion and demons, living miserably alone in tombs. In addition, they saw and experienced a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years became completely cured, and a 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, an official of the synagogue, was saved by Jesus. It's been good enough for the 12 just to understand what Jesus does and how, in what spirit. Now, Jesus gave his power and authority to his disciples and sent them out because he wanted them to resemble the Lord so that they can embrace the mission following Jesus even after when Jesus had left this world. The biggest reason that Jesus called and sent the 12 out is to spread the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is one of the key principles of Christianity. The first word spoken by Jesus when starting his public life is repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The Greek word metanoeo, translated into repent, means to change minds or to change views. Therefore, to repent is to change our minds while confessing that it is God who owns and leads our life, not ourselves. It is also to change our views that value anything biblical and everlasting, most high, escaping from what was worldly and one time. The kingdom of God is near also means similar to repent. The most important concept of the kingdom of God is rule. We'll belong to the kingdom of God by confessing the ruler and the owner of our life is God, and in turn following the Lord. Chapter 28, the last chapter of the Acts, tells Apostle Paul jailed in Rome. What he did was testified in chapter 28, verses 31 and 32 as follows. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Apostle Paul met visitors quite freely because he was house arrested in Rome, although he was a sinner. At the time, what the visitors delivered him were about the two, the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ the Lord. That is the essence of the gospel of Christianity. The world reigned by man, the world of humans, is always imperfect and finite. Every new ruler of any country would seek a vision that he dreams. But it never has come true. The more ambitious and bold, the more gap between the vision and reality. It is because the ruler of man's world is a human being who is imperfect and finite. Not only the ruler, but all of the people are imperfect, finite, and self-centered. There is neither true satisfaction nor life led to the eternity. That is why Jesus sent his disciples out to spread the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Jesus went on to say to his disciples about what to trust in verse 3. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Missionaries should rely only on God. at the time, they would meet snakes and other wild animals or a robbery on the way. Staff would protect them from such danger. Saying not to carry just an important tool means that you need to believe in God protecting you instead of yourself. There's a Korean song starting with, "If you're in trouble, I will comfort you." It leads to, when you walk through the cloudy days, I'll be the one to be your king. In verse 23 of Psalm as well, David confessed, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." It is the confession of David that he will count on God instead of a staff. In the meantime, bag, food, money, and two shirts are a matter of fundamental well-being that also should be taken care of by God. At the time, it was highly virtuous to treat a stranger well. So people of a village would invite a stranger, if any, taking turns. Sometimes it was considered even too much. If there was a person in a village who refused to accept a guest, they became the subject of criticism. Therefore, this means that the Lord will take responsibility for the life of missionary through the help from people. Well, there might be some in the congregation thinking that ministers and missionaries should pursue to have completely nothing, or asking, "We're all Christians and missionaries, after all, and should we have no right to own a house and give everything away except minimum level of daily meals?" But Jesus also said in front of the cross in the Last Supper as follows in Luke chapter 22, verses 35 and 36. "Then Jesus asked me, 'When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?' 'Nothing,' they answered. He said to them, 'But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one.'" Jesus now asked them to prepare everything now. That is because conditions may change when the disciples preach the gospel. Conditions could be different considering they have to spread throughout the world. We can follow either chapter 9 of Luke or chapter 22. Whatever you may choose, the fundamental principle is the same. You must rely on God. Apostle Peter followed chapter 9, and he was supported by the church when living as a missionary with his wife. Meanwhile, Apostle Paul obeyed chapter 22, and he built tents instead of receiving aid from the church. not only for himself, but for his companions as well. The way how the two apostles did differed, but they all relied only on God. Today as well, there are missionaries who receive supports to focus only on the gospel. There are also missionaries who serve in regions where missionaries cannot easily get access, having different jobs other than a missionary following the word of chapter 22. We need to keep the spirit of God's words in verse 3 deep in our minds. No matter how we have much or less, high or low in the hierarchy of society, educated or less educated, old or young, healthy or not, what we eventually trust is God. It can never be ourselves. Under any circumstances, if we trust ourselves instead of the Lord, then we are far from the will of the Lord, even if that could bring us a lot. Sending the disciples out, Jesus told about what to be careful in verse 4 and 5 as follows. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Jesus told the disciples not to wander from house to house until they leave the town. That was more helpful to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. It was late 1970s and early 80s when I was attending middle school and high school. At the time when there is a revival, not only the church, which was hosting the revival, but other churches in the town would help the church naturally together, even if it wasn't a joint assembly. They put on posters of a revival, not only for themselves, but for other churches as well. It was all natural. By looking at posters, you would know who preaches at which church. It was easier for a missionary to visit a town and stay in one house so that people of neighboring towns come and listen to the word of God and receive help as Christians. As time flows, however, this spirit faded, and staying at one house became pressure. And some missionaries stayed at one house for a long time for themselves. So some documents of early churches say, treat a missionary whom visits you like you do to the Lord. He might stay one night or two if necessary. But if he tries to stay more than two nights, he's a fake missionary. So there is a saying that fish and guests smell after the third day. Once sent, whether the stay is long or short, That depends on the word of God, not for himself. Jesus also said, if people do not welcome you, leave the town and shake the dust off your feet. The Jews used to dust off their feet whenever entering the temple after traveling other regions. It was their tradition not to taint the temple with the dust from other regions. Jesus, however, did not dust off his feet when he healed the man who was possessed by a demon and lived in tombs in the region of Gerasenes. Real foreigners are those who did not receive the gospel of heaven, not those from specific regions. Listening to the Lord's words, the disciples went out to spread the gospel, and there was a person who was embarrassed, as in the verse 7 to 9. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. Herod the Tetrarch is Herod Antipas. And the meaning of a tetrarch is a king who rules one-fourth of a region. He was married to Herodia, who was a wife to his younger brother Philip, which was commented as a mistake by John the Baptist. Herod became so delighted when seeing the daughter of Herodia danced at his birthday party and promised to give her anything if she wants. He even said to give a half of his country, which he should have never said. In King Lear, one of the four great tragedies by Shakespeare, the king also tells his three daughters to give a third of his country if they describe well how much they loved him. But the oldest and second oldest daughter, who were greedy and selfish, were given half of the country each, and there was nothing remaining for the youngest, who truly loved his father. So he became the tragic character. Herod had to pay for his bluff. He could never take it back because it was once spoken out in front of the officials, generals, and other nobles from all parts of the country. Herodias' daughter was directed by her mother to ask him for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, and so John the Baptist was killed. Jesus also called Herod Antipas a fox after seeing his cunning and sly tricks. Herod enjoyed the highest power in Galilee, Israel at the time. The house of him might be too big to compare with others. He might have premium delicacies every day. But he was perplexed and afraid. That was because he lived seeking his own desires, and the land he pursued was not the kingdom of God, but was the land of himself. The Lord not only sent the 12 out, but but us too. Our homes, work, school, and places of serving. All these are where God planted us with his whole heart. At the very place we should live as martyrs and preparedness. When being ascended, Jesus told his disciples as follows in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus did not tell the 12 to testify him, but asked him to become his martyrs, or witness. Testifying is possible by saying, but being a witness is not possible without offering one's life. To become a witness of Jesus Christ and to live the kingdom of God, should one needs to become a servant. The disciples of Jesus also didn't recognize at first. Although Jesus had often talked about the kingdom of God, they listened to the words of the kingdom of man or of the world. So they would even ask Jesus, when he was ascended, if that was the time when Jesus got the country back for Israel. But when the Holy Spirit came on Lent, they were able to understand what was the kingdom of God like. So they lived as martyrs of the kingdom of God and preparedness, serving the gospel and people like the Lord. Their life, which looked humble from the worldly point of view, beat the life of the Roman Empire, renew the world and people. The reason why the church today is criticized: Jesus Christ is not spread, and God is not showing to people, is because we don't live as martyrs and preparedness at a place where God planted us with his whole heart. If we can follow God, being as martyrs of the kingdom of God and preparedness, we'll become God's tool to solve issues and conflicts between social positions, generations, and ideologies. Our words cannot be heard, no matter how hard we speak out, because the sound of our life is far bigger than the sound of our voice. In addition, as the sound of our faith, personality, and the sound that our hands and feet make is so clear, our voice, made with our mouth, barely be heard, vaguely, regardless of our effort. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, when we meditate on the pain of the Lord and look for the coming of Jesus. Jesus Christ, sent by the Lord, showed us what it is like to live a kingdom of God as a martyr, became preparedness serving others, and finally became the example until he died on the cross. Such Lord sent us to a place of life where he planted us with his whole heart. The Lord who sent us takes care of us not only while we are living here, but also after we exhale the last breath. We need to respond to his sending. And the response should be made with our life. Those who answer to the Lord with their life are the tools of God, hands and feet of the Lord who will renew this world. Let us pray. We thank you that it is you who come the Lake of Galilee, where the wild squall came down on, who holds the spiritual world and who reigns the illness and death of man, is our Lord. We thank you that such God planted us here at this place with your whole heart. But there are many conflicts and criticisms surrounding the church, for we fail to live as martyrs of the kingdom of God and preparators of Jesus Christ and the gospel. On this second Sunday of Lent, help us remember the reason why the Lord planted us right here with his whole heart, and allow us to humbly accept that our life is owned and ruled by the Lord, so that we can follow the word of God and the everlasting views. May the church become true church and our society healthier through our life sincerely led as martyrs of the kingdom of God and preparators of Jesus Christ. And this help us become a sincere and mature pathway of the Lord to renew this age. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.